Good morning, everyone, and welcome to 10 Minutes of Tehillim, a Freilich and Hanukkah to one and all. And we are going to do part 3 this morning of Perek Mem Aleph, chapter 41. And believe it or not, this is also a Siyum. We are finishing the first book of Tehillim. We mentioned at the way beginning of our learning together that there are 5 books of Tehillim, and they're broken up into 5 parts. And this is the Siyum of the first book of Tehillim, Perek Mem Aleph. If you look at your Tehillim that you use to daven, you'll notice a break in the prakim, or you'll see an end to that that section. So let's talk about the Siyum, the end of the Perek. I want to make also a very strong connection this morning to Hanukkah, appropriate for the Zman that we're in, and of course dedicating our learning, as always, the last few weeks to the safety and security of our Chayalim, our soldiers, Achenu B'nai Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael, who should hear good news, B'suros Tovos. Okay, so as the Radak and Mitzudas Devin both point out, the last few psukim of Perek Mem Aleph, chapter 41, is in fact a conclusion. Every good author has a concluding paragraph, and these psukim from Yud Beis through the end, Yud Daled, are concluding psukim. So what are they? With this, I know that you have wanted me, desired me, Hashem. Because you have not allowed my enemies to cheerfully gloat over me. Meaning, and we see this unfortunately today, that it's one thing to be attacked by enemies or to be derided by enemies. Another thing to have them do so in a way which is glowing and gleeful to show that they are standing and over us with no impediments. And so David HaMelech, in the entire first part of the Sefer, the first book of Tehillim, has spoken over and over and over again about challenges he had personally, challenges for Bnei Yisrael, and the peaks and valleys of his life, which really reflects upon the life of Klal Yisrael. And he says, in all of that, he recognizes that the one thing he knows is that Hashem is still with him. How does he know that? Because even with all the lows and the valleys he experienced, Hashem never allowed the enemies that sought to hurt him to gleefully tower over him, to celebrate his downfall. And therefore, Vani b'sumi tamachta bi. In my very steadfast commitment to you, Hashem, because of my great integrity, you've supported me. And you stood me firmly forever. Meaning, with all of the attacks that I had, you allowed me the strength to stand firmly. Again, such a beautiful analogy in terms of Klal Yisrael. We mentioned several times in the last few months, specifically, that David HaMelech's personal challenges are supposed to be a reflection of our communal or national challenges, and the fact that even despite all the attacks, Hashem allows us to stand firmly and confidently, that's a sign that He still wants us. What's the last pasuk? Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael me'olam ve'ad olam, amen v'amen. Blessed Hashem, the God of Israel, from all the world past to the future world, amen v'amen, as a confirmation at the end of a bracha, we say amen. As the Mefarshim point out, that's the end of the first book. Now, on a simple level, as the Mefarshim we said before, again, the Mitzudas David, the Radak, talk about this, that the end bracha is the idea, it's a verse of thanks to Hashem for all the support that He gave him through all the challenges he experienced. I want to focus this morning, especially connecting to Hanukkah, on a comment of Rav Hirsch, which, again, I always recommend to read these sources inside. Rav Hirsch comments that the idea of me'olam ve'ad olam cannot mean from eternity to eternity or world to world, because, and now it could, you could say, as some of Farshim tell us, it's world to world in terms of olam hazeh to olam haba, and then you could explain that olam ve'ad olam, this world to the next world. That you could do. But if you translate the word olam as eternity, which some Farshim do, and some English translations, in fact, do, then it's hard to explain there's only one eternity. Eternity includes Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, so it can't be Olam Ve'ad Olam. And so Rav Hirsch takes license, as some commentaries on even the Siddur do, with Kaddish and other places, and they say the word Olam also is from the word Olam, which means hidden. What does that mean? We bless Hashem, Rav Hirsch writes, even when things in the past were concealed from us. We didn't understand. They were hidden from us. Beyond our comprehension, we couldn't figure them out, couldn't understand them, couldn't break them down to get to the point we can really deal with them. Nevertheless, we still bless Hashem for all the things he did for us. And we also commit that even though we recognize it in the future as well, Olam va'ad Olam means Alam va'ad Alam. Just like in the past, we showed our great belief, our emunah, and confidence in Hashem. But even though things were done, we couldn't understand, they were concealed from us, we still had faith. So too, we commit ourselves in the future to saying, even though you will continue to do, Hashem, things that we cannot understand, they're beyond our comprehension, we still commit to having faith and a firm commitment to our service of you. And that's the idea of Olam Ma'ad Olam, says Rav Hirsch. And the commitment of David HaMelech here, after all the challenges in his life, there were things he couldn't understand, couldn't deal with, couldn't really fathom how they could happen and why they're happening to him personally, communally, nationally. Nevertheless, his faith is still strong. He understands that in the bigger picture, they're for his benefit, and he trusts that Hashem has his best interests in mind, not just for the past, even the ones that haven't happened yet, that are hidden in the future. And that's an important message, certainly for us right now. And I'd like to use that as an opportunity in the Sefer Kemot Nishol Rav, which I use a lot in my Navi Shir. It's such a beautiful set of Svarim on Chumash, on Nevi'im, on different Yamim Tovim. It's a Likud of topics. He has here a beautiful thought about Hanukkah as well, in the same vein, about things being hidden and things being revealed. And he writes that it's such an amazing thing to think about, that the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that they found a Pach Shemen that was Munach Bechosamo Shel Kohen Gadol. It was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. You know, you could just say it was sealed, whether it was the seal of the Kohen Gadol or not. Why Dafka the seal of the Kohen Gadol? Why did it have to be that way? And of course, there are maybe halachic reasons, but let's focus now more on a hashkafic reason that he shares that I think is beautiful. He points out that the same Pach Shemen, it's amazing, had two different modes. What does that mean? Somehow, miraculously, not only was it sealed, but when the Yevanim came into the Heichal and they destroyed all the other Pachei Shemen, all the other jugs of oil, they missed this one. It was Nelam Me'enehem. It was hidden from their eyes, this Pach Shemen. And the same Pach Shemen that was Nelam Me'enehem, that was hidden, when we came in, was Nisgala, was revealed to everyone. We found it. And that's what the Meiri points out. The Meiri has many of the answers given. There's so many answers, not to go into it now. As the famous question of the Beis Yosef, why do we celebrate 8 nights of Hanukkah if in fact it was only a 7-day miracle because they found the Pach Shemen that would last one night? There's so many answers given, but the Meiri, one of the major answers given, the Rishonim, says the fact they found the Pach Shemen at all was a miracle, and that itself warrants a celebration of one extra night for a total of 8 nights. That's his answer. But regardless, the same Pach Shemen that was Nela Meinayim, that was hidden, also became revealed. It lived a dual life, this Pach Shemen. So why the seal of the Kohen Gadol? So if you look in the story of Sefer Yehoshua of the Meraglim, of Pinchas and Kalev, when they hid, the Medrash, the Yaakov Shimoni says that when they were hidden by Rachav, when they were hidden from the king's emissaries trying to come find them and kill them, so Pinchas says to her, says to Rachav, he says, you know, I'm a Kohen. And Kohanim, the Gemara says, are Jome Lemalach. They're like Malachim. You know, they're called Malach Hashem Svakosu. Sifte Kohen Yishmeru Das, like a Kohen is, you know, those who guard their knowledge, and like a Malach Tzivos Hashem Hu. They're compared to angels. So a Malach has also a dual life. Sometimes they are near him. They can be seen by human beings. And sometimes ain't no near him. They can't be seen. So therefore, if that's the case, he says to her, you really only hid my friend Kaliyah, because for me, I was hidden by the fact that I'm a Kohen. I'm similar to a Malach. I can be hidden or I can be revealed. And I was, in this case, I was already hidden. And so you only really hid Kaliyah based on that Medrash. He says the following. He says, since we see one of the Milos of the Kohen Gadol is the idea that he can be hidden. He can be a Nister and a Nigla at the same time. It makes sense that it should be nechtam b'chosama shel Kohen Gadol, that this Pach Shemen should be sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol himself, as a regular Kohen, can be nister or be nigla, can be hidden or can be revealed. So too, the Pach Shemen can have the status of being hidden, like it was from the Yevanim, or it can be revealed, like it was when we found it in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the idea of Chanukah. Chanukah has both this duality. So of course, there are a lot of hidden miracles, but the hidden became revealed. You're able to see things which were behind the scenes, and Hashem's word, La'alam, as we said before, from Tehillim, in Devar HaMelech's words, the person's interpretation, and they became nigla, they became revealed. And that's the idea of Chanukah, that we're able to see sometimes things which are usually hidden, they become revealed to our eyes. We saw the miracles in front of us to the Einei HaKol, to the eyes of all. And that's the idea of Chanukah, connecting to Olam Ad Olam of Devar HaMelech Tehillim, that things that are hidden can become revealed. We ask Hashem, we daven, of course, and hopefully He should reveal to us, help us understand some of the things which are hidden. But even if we don't understand them and they're not revealed to us, says Devar HaMelech, we still have great faith that Hashem has our best interest in mind, both personally, communally, and of course, as an Am, as a nation. I want to end with the tefillah. We hope and pray that Amir Hashem, that God gives us the ability to hopefully understand, to reveal that which is hidden. Help us understand some of the struggles of Klal Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully, Amir Hashem, give us the ultimate revelation, the ultimate Nister Tenigla in the coming of Mashiach. Amir Hashem, a time of peace, of prosperity, and Menuchas HaNefesh, so badly needed for our people, for our country, for all of us. Wishing all of you a Freilich and Chanukah, and here's Hashem will continue with the second Sefer of Tehillim, beginning with Perek Mem Beis, chapter 42, next week. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.